Jenkins, and this is my series of Podfic Recs for Amplorecathon 2012. I think because it's such a mixed bag of Podfic Recs, we're just going to call this whole series a pan-fandomatic gargle blaster. See what I did there with fandom and also, I don't really have a cohesive theme. Last year I had a whole rec list of tattoo body mod Podfics and then one of crossovers. And I waited till the last day of Amplorecathon, and a lot of things that I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever, were already wrecked. But because I'm kind of lazy and didn't want to find new things, and because I think podfickers need all the, you know, kudos they could get, I'm just going to wreck them again anyway. Because, I mean, if it was something of mine, and by the way, people have been so incredibly amazing about the podfics that I've made. Like, I'm not that awesome, and yet everybody seems to think I am, and that's just, like, such the best feeling, which, not important. Anyway, lots of high fives and gold stars to all the podfickers. Okay. In no particular order, and with an emphasis on Bandom, because that's where I am these days. I've been listening to a lot of Bandom lately. Here go my handful of podfic recs. Okay, so first up, we have Pete Wentz, Failiest Ally. Oh, and links can be found in the actual post after you listen to me talk. Okay? Okay. So, first up is Pete Wentz, Failiest Ally. A Bandom fanfic written by Girl Pearl and Melusina, read by Girl Pearl. This story had me laughing out loud. And not in just like a lol kind of way, but in a, I'm walking down the main street heading to the post office and I have to stop at a lamppost and hold myself up while I'm giggling, okay? Pete Wentz is so certain that Patrick needs to come out of the closet and he's doing everything he can to help him with that. And the whole time he's completely oblivious to his own gay below the waist leanings. And it's just, Girl Pearl, one of the authors, is also the podficker, and she does this thing where it's like, you can tell it's her story and that she has this connection to it, so when she's reading it to you, like, it's not just, oh, I enjoy this, but you can tell from her words that this is something she really enjoyed, she really loved, and she has a deeper connection there. So when she's reading the humory bits, when she's reading the, oh my god, Mikey is so, like, fed up with Pete's obliviousness parts. Just, like, there's that extra punch of, oh, awesome, I see that you have this connection, and I can tell how much you love this story. You know? You can download the podfic at www.mediafire.com/?4LSQ5C1X4YOZGI7. And find the story at archiveofourown.org/works/383519. Again, links will be provided in the post where you found this. Also, I think this is Girl Pearl's only posted podfic at the moment, so everyone should bug her to do more because her voice is great and she has such joy in the words. Next up, You Could Use a Hero Right Now, I Could Use Somebody to Save, written by Dear Monday and read by DePatty. Best story. Another Bandom fic, My Chemical Romance, Mob AU, kind of. Mob AU, Superhero AU, like the movie Kick-Ass, but better. And I kind of have, like, a huge soft spot for this story because DePatty and I both released simultaneous you know, multiplicity type versions of the story. We both made a pamphlet and it was like, oh, coincidence, let's release them together and it'll just be awesome. But, like, every time I listen to my own stuff, it's like, oh, lean back from the mic, or why'd you do that emphasis? Go back and fix it. Or just, like, my voice puts me to sleep. So listening to DePatty read Dear Monday's story, like, she put the emphasis in different places than I did, and it made it different, and it made it better. And also, her voice doesn't put me to sleep. Like, I zone out of my own voice, and it's like, oh, crap, whatever. Which is weird, because I started podficking for my, you know, own joy, and after a while, it's just, not the point, talking about DePatty, just, there's this one scene where like, Gerard has emotions, and Frank has emotions, and DePatie has this sort of dry tone a lot of the time. It's like, and it highlights the humor of the story she's reading. Does that make sense? Like, she's not over-emoting, so it makes it even funnier when it gets to the funnier bits, because it's like, in your face. I don't know. I really loved the way she did You Could Use a Hero Right Now. I Could Use Some Money to Save. You can find the links to the story and to the MP3 of this podfic at www.audiofic.gingerly.com/you-could-use-hero-write-now-i-could-use-someone-to-save-0. Just best story with the best reader to have this whole amazing, not fic, best listening experience. So you should check that out. Next up, we have Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, written by Auburn and read by Faye J, who on Dreamwith is going by the username Pandaris right now, I believe. But I've listened to a lot of her stuff, and it's Faye J in my head. Okay, so this podfic came out last summer, and it came out in a 9-hour installment, and then approximately 6 months, or it felt like 6 months anyway, delay, and then there was the next 10 hours of the story. Oh my god. I had originally seen a recommendation to read the story Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves from the Fourth Line, and I trust the Fourth Line to recommend me stories, but I looked at the Archive of Our Own page, and I saw how many words it was, and I was just like, seriously? Seriously, I have to read all that? Seriously? And then I backed away. And then a couple months later, Faye J posted the first 9 hours of the podfic, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, someone else will read it to me, fine. The weekend I downloaded that was a weekend I was supposed to be staying at my dad's house. You know, the divorced parents, split custody, whatever. I spent the entire weekend with my headphones in. The only time I took my headphones out was for dinner. And my dad was kind of pissed at me. He's like, I don't see you anymore, blah, 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 are you paying attention to me? No, I couldn't put this down. It was just the first 9 hours, and it was only halfway through the story. I could not put this down. Her voice and the way she... Faye J shifts between, like, Jahan's and Rodney's, or Meredith's, rather. He's no longer Rodney. And Meredith, when he is being controlled by this Tok'ra, and, like, Samantha's voice, and a couple flashbacks to back on Earth, and just, there's so many things going on between present day and present day in another part of the galaxy, and flashbacks to another part of the galaxy, and she does it all with this amazing vocal versatility that's just, like, she doesn't use sound effects for the people who are, like, Goa'uld-possessed, which I usually, I have a personal preference to use sound effects, so you can tell when it's Goa'uld, but she does it with her own voice. It's just like you can... Like, there's some, I don't know, personality shift in her when she reads that you can tell this is a person who is the Goa'uld, and then this is the character later on when it's their own internal monologue, and they're different people. There's this one scene, it's actually in the second half of the story, where Jahan and Meredith and Tayla and Samantha and a bunch of the expedition are on Atlantis, and they've been taken hostage by the Genii, and it's, there's this scene where Jahan realizes he has the ATA gene, and if I was less lazy, I would cut and paste that scene, because I have listened to this entire podfic at least 15 times in the last year, all the way through, and it's kind of like a safety pod, like how Bess talks about sometimes, because I could listen to any section of this story and it would just calm me down or put me to sleep if my brain won't turn off or just give me, like, a happy boost. But there's this one scene where Jahan realizes he has the ATA gene and it punches you in the heart the way she reads this, because It's he has this sense of home that an all-encompassing love that the city has for Jahan, but at the same time he's so terrified of that because of how he had to suborn his will to the Gold who was his master for all these years, and how he pushes that sense of home away, and in Feyjay's voice you get this whole torn emotional dichotomy, and it's just amazing what she does right there. And so I'm a great big lurker. Hi, I've listened to this podvic at least 15 times all the way through, and I've never ever left you a comment about how much I love this. So this is me. Burping. No, this is me saying to you, Feyjay, that you're my hero. I'm pretty sure out of every SGA podfic ever, including the stuff I've podfic myself, this is the Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves is my number one, hands down, gold sticker and a high five, absolute favorite. People who haven't can download this podfic at audiofic.gingerly.com/gypsies-tramps-and-thieves-WIP. It's not actually a work in progress anymore. She has recorded the whole original story. But there are three additional codas that Auburn's written, Feyjay. If you're interested, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, okay. next up, we have Graduate Vulcan for Fun and Profit, written by Lazuli Song and read by Temple Marker. I'm pretty sure this story has already been wrecked at least once at the Sampler Hackathon, because it's actually a couple of years old. This is one of the very first podfics I ever listened to coming into podfic fandom. I had just seen the Star Trek reboot movie, and I was like, oh, I just saw that, and it was like at the same time as podfics for Star Trek reboot were like filling up Amplificathon. And it was like everywhere you turned, there was a new reboot podfic. And I picked this one up because I liked how the original fic managed to meld reboot canon with some stuff from the original series. There was the family of all the Kelvin ship members, also mixed with like Tarsus and whether or not that was Kirk's backstory. So I thought the story was very interesting, and I picked up the podfic, and amazing. Amazing. Temple Marker does this thing where there's a Vulcan OC, and you'd think it would be kind of hard to read that because you don't have a base, you know, a canon character to base yourself off of. Temple Marker gives him his own voice, his own personality. He's someone you've never heard of before, and Temple Marker makes you love him. There are flashbacks between current day and when Jim was growing up with this certain Vulcan character. And the way she reads him, it's not just like, oh, this is a Vulcan, and because Vulcans don't express emotion, I'm not going to put any emotion into my reading. No, it's like, it's subtle, but it's there, and you just like, you kind of want to hug him, and then, I don't want to give away any major spoilers to the story, but there is a funeral scene at the end, and this is another one of those, if I was less lazy and I were splicing in pieces of the original podfic, this is the scene I would, there's a funeral, and it's a funeral for Vulcan, so everybody's like, not showing explicit grief or emotion, and they mention Jim's name, and everyone else is all self-contained in honor of Vulcan tradition, and Jim gets up, and he starts swearing in Vulcan, and it's the best moment of the entire story, and I know it's supposed to be, oh, sad funeral, but that scene makes me grin every single time. Temple Marker, I love what you do there. I would quote it back at you if I didn't think that it would completely pale in comparison to what you did. Just best contrast between the grieving and the humor, and there's all this like found family emotions that Temple Marker conveys, and it's just epic emotions. Epic emotions everywhere. Okay. Another podfic I'd like to rec is Rising to the Occasion, The Way Brothers Beat the Food Network Challenge, written by me and read by Bessie Boo. What? Self-rec? No! No, really. What I'd like to say about this, I guess maybe this shouldn't be in the thing because, like, tooting your own horn is considered bad form and stuff. But when I was writing this, it was, like, on Twitter, and it was completely... I'm watching television and typing this at the same time, and I have no idea what's going on. And I wasn't even, like, paying attention to the story part of it. And I was kind of like, okay, whatever, I'm going to bed, and tomorrow I'll take down the tweets and I'll try to compile them into some cohesive something. And instead I woke up and there was a podfic, and it was just... It was kind of like I didn't really pay a lot of attention to what was coming out of my fingertips, basically. So I listened to Bessie Boo read this, and it was just, wait, you make this sound like it's a real story. You put emotion in here, and you've made me crack up like crazy, and I'm worried about what the result is going to be, and apparently I wrote it. Like, I don't... Bessie Boo is just... God, I love that woman. She has baited so many of my podfics, and I just... I'm gonna hug her so hard one day. But the way she does this, it was, to me, it was kind of like smack you in the face with a fish, because I didn't recognize the podfic from the verbal vomit that came out of my fingers. It was a completely different animal and so much better than anything I could have hoped to have put together. So extra kudos to Bessie Boo for making something that was kind of ridiculous and completely not thought out into a product that was... Like, I don't know how to say this without being like, doot doot, you know? It just, she made it so awesome. Like, surprise plot twists, even though I was supposed to already know the plot. Anyway, so you can find the download for that at archiveofourown.org/works/388082. Oh, excuse me, another burp. So there's a something that you should check out, and you should give Bessie Boo so many props for taking something that was, like, seriously, the barest outline of spelling and making it into this real thing. Next up, we have Measured Out in Miles, a bandom fanfic set in the My Chemical Romance Killjoys universe, written by Zarathus and read by Erica Shaw. I love this. I've listened to this podfic at least a dozen times. I haven't actually written an O, and apparently someone is Fast and the Furiousing their way down the road. Yeah, because there's someplace to go in port at this time of night. Anyway, I haven't actually left any feedback for Erica Shaw, because I am a lurkery lurker who lurks, but, I'm in love with this. I love the way she reads Grace with a childlike air, but not childish. Like, you can tell that Grace has grown up too fast living in the world that she lives in. She's 7. It's not like she's 6 anymore, you know? But at the same time, there's this almost innocent quality to the way she reads Grace. Because, like, Erica Shaw manages to capture the fact that Grace is still a child, but mix it in with the whole universe of how she has to also be self-sufficient enough to survive on her own. I don't know how she does it. Her accent is gorgeous, and, like, the relationship tension between Party Poison and Fun Ghoul, and there's this one scene where they're painting the car, and Grace wants to make the tailpipe look like a dragon so that when the exhaust comes out, it looks like smoke. And so vivid. I could see this world that I hadn't read the original story before I'd listened to this. I could see the world she was describing to me. I'd only seen the video like a couple times, but I wasn't like, ooh, let me look at all the details of the car, you know? But I could see it in my head. I could see this little kid with her paintbrushes, and she's trying to, you know, paint the dragon, but she's 6-7 years old, so it's not going to come out like, you know, a still life or something. It's not going to come out with the, like, someone who's in AP art or something. But you could hear, like, Party Poison's pride in Grace's art, and there's a scene at the end that it's just found families. It's Party Poison and Fun Ghoul and Jetstar and Cobra Kid, and they gave her a key, and it's just, she's like, this is how much I love you. I don't care if you gave me a key. It's not even going anywhere without you in the car with your key also. I'm in love with the way Erica Shaw read Grace. This is the Grace for me that has overwritten all other Graces. This is the Grace voice that when I read Killjoy's fic, this is how I hear her. So, I know I haven't actually written anything for you, but this is the thing that I'm saying. Good job. High five. Okay. A bitty bitty podfic, only about 4 minutes long. Taste the Rainbow, written and read by Flying the Sky. This is from the most recent Amplificathon 2012. It is a Repo the Genetic Opera meets True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys crossover fic. It's Grave Robber and Fun Ghoul, and yes, it relies on knowing canon, but okay, my reactions when I saw that this was a thing that existed were basically seal claps and grinning at my computer screen. I had watched Repo the Genetic Opera with Middle-Earth's sister last summer, and it became kind of like a running inside joke for us whenever, like, you walked past the meat counter at the grocery store. Ooh, who forgot to pay the installments on their liver today? And, like, oh, look, Giles, he also kills people! And just, like, all these terrible inside jokes between me and my sister about this movie. And then I was only just starting. I sort of made the transition from Bandom AUs to Bandom RPF to what is this Killjoy universe people speak of? And then I found this pontific, and it was just like, this is a thing, and I must have it right fucking now. So Flying in the Sky, thank you for writing this, and thank you for reading this to me. I could tell how much you enjoyed it, and you made me enjoy it so much too. So thank you for that. Next up, we have... Sorry. You can find Measured Out in Miles... forgot to read this before. You can find Measured Out in Miles at audiofic.gingerly.com/measured-out-in-miles. And you can find Taste the Rainbow at audiofic.gingerly.com/taste-rainbow. Okay, those are where you found this. Next up, we have Pavlov's Dog is Chasing Schrodinger's Cat, which is a Life with Derek fanfic written by... Oh, I forgot to write down who it was written by. But it's read by Bessie Boo. And when I make the post, I'll write that down. This was actually the very first Bessie Boo podfic that I ever listened to. And she was like, hey, could you just check if it gets too shrill or anything like that? And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then I opened a file. I'm like, wait, you can write fanfic for Life with Derek? But then I was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, this makes sense, because they had lives that continued after the show ended, and obviously this is what happened. And, like, the way she read it, the characters were, like, exactly the stuff I'd watched on television. She got their personalities down in her vocals, and, like, honestly, before listening to this, I had never considered where the lives of these characters would go after they were done, after the show ended. And then she read this to me, and it was just, this is obviously where canon went. You have made me believe this. The way you read Derek, and the way you read his sister, and the way you read the other characters who, like, oh, obviously you know these things about these people. Obviously. So, you should check that out, because, like, I had never even pondered this is what might possibly happen. Clearly, I'm a terrible fangirl. Yeah. You can download this podfic at audiofic.gingerly.com/pavlovs-dog-is-chasing-schrodingers-cat. And honestly, it's like, smack you in the face. Obviously, this is the thing that happened, because she gets them perfectly, and it's completely amazing. crap. How many more of these do I have? I have obviously too many Podfic wrecks. Okay. A Grand Sneer, written by Morag McPherson and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. This is also from Amplificathon 2012, the very last day of Amplificathon. A Grand Sneer is one of my absolute favorite Discworld stories, and the fact that it's a crossover with Supernatural is just, like, extra bonus hugs, because I love crossovers, and I'm a Supernatural girl, and I love Discworld. So I was like, oh, awesome, let's do this! So I downloaded it, and one of the things that threw me off a little bit at first was Tiny Pink Mouse has an accent, and all the audiobooks for the Discworld books that I've listened to are also an accent, but they're different accents from each other. And I was like, wait, can you do that? But then I kept listening, and I was like, oh, yes, yes you can. Because Tiny Pink Mouse does this thing with Sweeper when he speaks, and it's just like, oh, yeah, because Sweeper doesn't have a stuffy upper crust accent. Sweeper has the way she reads him. Sweeper has this personality, and she's doing it right. And then there's this scene with Granny Weatherwax and the Winchester brothers of, you know, like, well, why are you still here? Why haven't you gone home to fix things with your brother? And it's just, like, the emotion she packs into that scene where he's, like, partly homesick and partly thinking, oh, but I could have a fresh start right here and I could ignore the demon forever. The way Tiny Pink Mouse reads Granny Weatherwax in that scene is just mind-blowing. So forget about the fact that all the other Discworld audiobooks that you've listened to have had, you know, British accents of some kind. And forget about the fact that Tiny Pink Mouse is not, in fact, a British man. And listen to this, because the way she does it is just... This is one of those ones where it's the accent doesn't match my mental image of canon, but it doesn't matter, because she gives them these personalities in her reading, and it's like emotion and just... Definitely a couple hours well spent. You can download this podfic at www.audiofic.gingerly.com/grand-sneer. Okay? What's up next? Next we got Some Things Shouldn't Be a Chore, written by Sci-Fi Girl 47 and read by Darling Sweet. 2 hours of Avengers movieverse, where Tony Stark has robot buddies and humans baffle him. Darling Sweet does fantastic things here, and it's a series, and, you know, there's multiple stories, Darling Sweet. You plan on reading the rest, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, but seriously, she hits Tony on the head, she hits Steve, like, she gets, like, the nuances of him, and just all these awesomeness, and, I mean... Oh, Jesus, why do I keep burping? Just the way she... It's just... Oh, you want to clutch it to your heart and hug it, because Tony is confused, so he has robots, and you can download this podfic at audiofic.gingerly.com/series-in-which-tony-stark-builds-himself-some-friends. And if anyone else wanted to poke Darling Sweet and say, oh, yes, the rest of the series, you know, get on that, if that's not too rude. Because I love the way you read these characters, and I would love to hear some more from you. Okay. Party Games and Good Time Guys, written by Jocondity and read by Melusina, is another Bandom fanfic, and this one is Cobra Starship, and the Academy is... And the boys are on tour, and they're having a party on the bus, and I'm pretty sure it's not a drunk podfic, but just the way she reads this story is just, you can practically smell the booze. You can feel everyone's relaxed body language, and the hugging, and the making out, and the inadvised shirts taking off, and you practically get a contact high from listening to this story. That's how well she conveys the emotions of this. It's just laid back and happy, and it puts you in a good, smiley place. At www.audiofic.gingerly.com/party-games-and-goodtime-guys. Sorry that I'm rushing through the rest of this. I've only got like 15 minutes of battery left, and I have to go inside in a minute. Okay? I Refuse to Give This a Title, written by Rennie Days and read by XO Gemma XO. is a Bandom fanfic featuring the members of Panic at the Disco. The first time I'd read this story, I had like sympathetic embarrassment with Spencer, and I was kind of a little bit hesitant about clicking on this podfic, because if I had sympathetic embarrassment with the story, would it be even worse reading it to me? But it wasn't. It was brilliant. It was, like, even though I kind of knew all the things that were coming, like, I was having out loud reactions of grinning and gasping and clapping, okay, while I was listening to this. I was walking in the local park. I was walking, like, a lap around the thing, and I'm having, like, arm flailing movements as I walk. And I'm pretty sure I gave some weird vibes to a couple of my fellow pathwalkers, but, like, that's how epic EXO Gemma EXO is. And this is actually the first podfic I've listened to by her, and I'd love to encourage you to read some more, because your comedic timing is just, like, bam, 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 you're knocking out the laughs, and I'm giggling out loud, and then you get to the part at the end with the fanfic, and I'm just like, oh my god, if that was real, I would be like, are you trolling me? But, oh my, it was, oh, I want to hug this to my bosom. Only not really, because that'd be weird. So, amplificathon.dreamwith.org/196153.html for links to the text and to the podfic download. And I've got 13 minutes of battery left, and I'm worried that my computer's going to crap out on me. So, we're going to close this with an untitled panic kink ficlet written by longtime lurker and read by Quintency. Okay, let me preface this by saying that I love Quintency's voice. I just, her accent and the way she does comedy and the way that she does like more serious stuff too, it's like melodic almost. This story, the first time I read this, it's about corset piercings. And before I'd ever read this story, I was like, these are not for me, full body shudder. Because I'd gone to get my cartilage done in Providence, and the place I'd gotten it done had a book of, like, here are things I've done, and there was, like, 4 pages of corset piercings, and I guess if you take the picture immediately after having it pierced, it makes sense that they're going to be all in flames looking. But I wasn't thinking like that when I saw these pictures. It was just freaking me out that everything was all red and looking scary. So I was like, no, back away. And then I saw this story written by longtime lurker, and there was this gorgeous art that went with it. And the art convinced me to read the fic, and then the fic made me reconsider my stance on corset piercings, which was to say, they're probably not for me, but hot damn was this hot. And then Quintency was asking about, you know, she's got some pain kink thing and some piercing kink thing that she wants to make a podfic for, and I'm like, this one! And I may have spammed both her live journal and her dream with, if I knew how to whistle, I'd be whistling right now, nonchalance. And then she recorded it, and she made this fuck-awesome cover that's like, these are still not for me, but hot damn was that sexy. And she read this with this gorgeous, her pacing was amazing, and you could feel, like, the tension in Brendan, and, like, this coiled sense of anticipation in Spencer when he's watching Brendan perform, and this scene where Ryan takes off his belt to use the ribbon, it's just like, and of course it's like GSF at the end, and I'm like, orgies, happy endings for everybody, and it's just like, she's like, oh hey, this is for you, and then she was like, oh yes, hides in shame. I'm like, no hiding in shame, I love this, I want to frame it and put it on my wall, except for the fact that I share a room with my sister, and I don't want to explain to her the fact that I have piercing kinks. Yeah, that'd be weird. We're not that close. But just, oh, I love this story, and you absolutely have to listen to it, even if corset piercings aren't your thing, because the dynamic between the boys is just beautiful, and the way Quintense reads it with, like, you can tell that they're all sort of intrigued and captured by the rings in Spencer's, in Brendan's back, and Spencer's like, oh, I call dibs on unlacing him, and it's just amazing. And you can download this podfic at archiveofourown.org/works/472363. Absolutely. Every single one of these podfics in the Pan Fandomatic Gargle Blaster, which is, I didn't actually have any Douglas Adams Podfix on here. I should have done that. But seriously, every one of these is going to make you want to hug the reader. Because, like, it's not just, oh, someone's telling me a story. It's someone's taking the time to tell the story to me personally because they want to share their joy with me. And even if it's, like, a story with grief in it or a story with angst or sexy time, it's like, let me give you a high five. Let me give you a gold star and a thumbs up and a thank you, even if I never remember to actually leave you comments because I'm a lurkery lurker who sucks at responding. Yeah. Check these out, people, okay? And maybe you'll remember to leave thank yous, even though I forgot. Again, this was Rena Jenkins. I'm signing off from Amplirecathon 2012. In the Podfic post where you downloaded this, you can find links to download all the Podfics mentioned in this ramble. Sorry for any cicada sounds you've heard. Have a nice night.